hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the great issue of Israel's unbelief. And in the middle of that, he cites the book of Isaiah. And there he cites the beginning verses of Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Yesterday, we outlined a bit of what that report is, and I want to rehearse that again. But here's the language of the report. "He has no form of comeliness nor beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we on our part hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. We hated him. He's bore our griefs and carried our sorrows," literally pains. "Yet we reckoned him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted, and wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, our sins," right? What is the truth of it? He says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Do you hear it, my friends? Who's believed that? Well, we could say today we have a nation of Israel who's not believed that, and we have many in the church today who've not believed it because they've turned to moralism, self-help, and they're not preaching Jesus. Do you hear what the report is? Who's believed our report? What's the report? The report is that of a bloody, crucified Savior who's not beautiful in our estimation. He did not have chiseled abs. He was not blonde-haired and blue-eyed. This was a man we would never find beautiful. He was split open. The report is that of a gruesome death where his grave was made with the wicked, and God himself smote him. And why did God do that to his son? Because of our horrid, rebellious hearts. Because we're always going astray in the heart. Because we're always turning to our own way. That's the report. I said yesterday I would do real well on the church growth scorecard. Might even build a mega church here in Linden. If I didn't preach a message like that, I could gain a great hearing if I told everyone they're beautiful people and Jesus, it really came just to fix your bad self-esteem problems. We might even get a big glass cathedral like Schuller out of that message. If my preaching were upbeat, more dynamic, smiled, made the atmosphere relaxed, cup of coffee, come on in, folks. Gave talks a nicer tone, help you along your journeys on these difficult weeks. See, I believe we could be effective with that. The problem is, it wouldn't be God's message. I said yesterday, I don't even think I would offend people if I preached the gospel so long as they are made to feel worthy to receive the gospel. In other words, pastors are loved today as long as they pet the sheep and make them feel that they're good enough to receive what Jesus did. But my friends, that's not the report. That's the problem. It's not the message God has sent the messenger with. And so whose message is it if something's being preached that's not God's message? Is it not possible the very thing of 2 Corinthians 11 has come about, where Satan has come as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness, preaching a message that is alluring your soul to hell? That's not the report, right? What Isaiah 53 says is that an undesirable Savior was cruelly murdered, suffered a horrid death, and it was our fault. It was our sin that caused that, because we've always gone astray in our hearts. Didn't that just what Peter said at Pentecost? You know, you look at the preaching in Acts in the early church. I don't know if we'd be able to bear it today. I mean, this is the preaching, Acts 2:23. Him being delivered up by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, crucified and put to death. You killed him. You killed Jesus. It's Stephen standing up and saying in Acts 7, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Their response? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. True preaching of the law and the gospel will produce gnashing of teeth. Because people get angry and are either broken and come to Christ with a believing heart or reject. That's what the report does. Not all have believed the report, says Paul. So do you see, either hear that message for what it is, or you refuse to hear the truth. Drop to your knees and call out in belief upon the one who is able to save. And essentially, my friends, that's the most beautiful report that could be given to a sinner. See, I've come to the conclusion when Isaiah asked the question, who's believed our report and why have not all obeyed the gospel? It comes down to one issue. People despise grace. Because the message takes everything away from us. The report says you can do nothing. You cannot save yourself. You cannot even seek on your own. No one seeks after God, Romans 3. You cannot find on your own. There's absolutely no good in you. No one does good, no, not one, Romans 3, Psalm 14. In fact, the report says you offer absolutely nothing. I find nothing lovely in you. The report says you're nobodies, with no claims on God's favor. And without the imputation of the life and death and resurrection of this bloody Savior, which you can never accept on your own, you'll perish forever. That message of grace is the most difficult thing for the sinner to deal with. It's offensive to the legalist who's tied to his externals. It's offensive to the person who wants to refuse to hear the truth about himself. It's offensive to all. Now here's the point, my friends. Here's what I've been driving to this week. In verse 17, Paul makes a conclusion. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you hear a summary? True belief in the heart comes by hearing Christ through the preacher speak that message to you. Remember what the message is. Remember what the report is. A bloody Savior, a crucified Savior who's not beautiful, splinters and all, who had to come and save you from your wretchedness, your turning, your sin, and you put him to death. That's the message. Summed up in Isaiah 53, that God chooses to save the sinner. The heart is warm to Christ. Christ is loved. And you flow forth in a life of calling upon him. That's what happens when somebody genuinely receives the report. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There's a conviction in the heart. The heart is warm to Christ, and Christ is loved. And now you flow forth in your life calling and living for him. That's essentially what Corinthians would say. Through the foolishness of that message preached, God chooses to save. And what is so beautiful about this is that though not all come, many do. In fact, it will be a multitude that no one numbers. And Paul returns here in Romans 9 and 10 to this great issue, well, then what about Israel? And Paul says very plainly in the final verses of Romans 10, Israel heard this report. Well, that's the context here. Did Israel not get this report? No, they heard the report. The very message that is proclaimed to you week in and week out was proclaimed to them. And Paul raises a few sad excuses to prove this in verse 18 of Romans 10. But I say, have they not heard? He's right back to Israel. Have they not heard that report? Was the gospel not preached to them? And he cites Psalm 19. The sound has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. What's the next question? Well, in my mind, maybe they didn't see Christ in the Law and the Prophets. What does Paul ask in verse 19? But I say, did Israel not know? Did Israel not understand that all these things pointed to Jesus? Of course they did. They had a whole sacrificial system that pointed to Christ. What's Paul's answer? He goes right to Moses. I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. He's speaking to Israel. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. You see what he's saying? Israel heard the gospel, but they got angry because the Gentiles were believing it. The Jews hated the Gentiles. They became jealous because the scriptures they knew were being fulfilled that were made to Abraham, that in him, literally, now listen to this, in Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth would be blessed. That was God's plan. And the message of free grace was being attained to by the Gentiles apart from the law, and the Jews were jealous because the Gentiles were attaining to their Messiah by faith and not works, which for the Jews were their badges of accomplishment. But the point is they heard the gospel and they rejected the gospel. They didn't want Christ's righteousness. They wanted their own righteousness. And God asked the question, what more could have been done in my vineyard that I've not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And he leaves us with the question, all day long, I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a contrary people. Today, God stretches out his hands, saying, come to my son. Jesus has come to me and you will find life. So, do we have unbelieving hearts? Or have we believed upon Christ? That's the great question today. Have you, my friends, believed the report? If you have, know this. Christ has saved you, and his bloody death on the cross has delivered you from the wrath to come. That, my friends, is a reason to rejoice.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.